Welcome back to Middle Age Mediocre. I am Cash, joined by
Joel.
Just Joel.
Boss Man Cash.
Why am I Boss Man Cash?
I got a peek behind the curtain. I don't want to say too much.
Yeah. Well, you've got a couple peeks this week. You sent me a picture on Wednesday while I was in a web meeting.
Yeah.
And you sent me a picture of me in that web meeting.
I control the black internet. Is that what's called? Dark internet?
The dark web.
Dark web.
Yeah.
I don't know the name, but I control it.
Yeah, so I was very, I'm going to have to get a hold of this person that sent you that and be like, hey, you're blowing up my spot.
Yeah.
What's up? Where do they? Is that a?
I have no idea.
You don't know what they do?
Nope.
They just happen to.
Just got
how
the
did
pick.
They know that I knew you?
Podcast.
Oh, okay. So they listen?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, out there.
Maybe I don't know. We've been friends for lots of years. I'm friends with her husband. Friends with her, and just.
So whatever you do out there, you're involved with Keepro too. So maybe we can collaborate on
podcast stuff.
The nonprofit I work for, what we do, and not podcast. Maybe
podcast. Oh yeah, not podcast stuff.
But yeah, so that was creepy. And then you got to see me be.
You took a call.
I took a call
right in front of me. I feel like I should get paid for being in the presence while you were working.
Yeah.
On a Saturday. Time and a half, pal.
No, hey man. Hey, you're in salary world right now.
Urine. What about poop salary?
I get my salary in urine.
Four jars. It's been a good week.
It's a pretty lucrative deal, really.
And then, but then you have to pay out your subordinates in urine. So.
Oh well, yeah.
You like mix it with water.
The gold is flowing.
You dilute it with apple juice.
Yeah. I can't. I gotta cut it a little bit.
Yeah,
I gotta make a profit, baby.
I gotta make a profit.
So this week we are going to talk about the curious case of Natalia Grace.
Yeah, we kind of touched on it last week. Yeah,
The Max.
HBO was my father. Call me Max.
Was Max's father. So, Joel, yeah, last episode we had, Joel had brought this up. We almost thought for a second that Joel's whole world was a lie.
Yeah.
And that these were all actors. But we figured out, oh, no, wait, there's a couple actors in the reenactions.
Yeah.
So, but no, this is... a two seasons documentary, docuseries so far, where the first season will spin one narrative and make you think one thing.
Yeah.
And then the second season
will... It's a real mind melt.
Blow your mind.
Yeah.
We'll get into that here in a minute.
Okay.
But before we get into that, we gotta catch up. This is the first time I've seen you in 2 weeks, probably.
Weeks.
We took last weekend off.
Yeah.
I took a weekend trip to Columbus.
Nice.
Yep. Saw the Franklin Botanical Gardens.
Went
through the butterfly exhibit.
I did see your butterfly picture.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Butterflies all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Then it was hot as hell.
Did you steal any?
No.
Check your beard.
They had, well, I kind of wondered about that too. I wonder if there's any butterflies that have ever, because they are very.
I've been to some butterfly rooms.
When you go to one, you stop at one door.
Yeah.
And they make sure the other door is shut. Yeah. So there was like some very big protocols in place there. But so it's hot as hell.
It's big butterfly business.
They have to keep it kind of, kind of warm.
Yeah.
But then we went into another part of the place where it had a Himalayas exhibit. Like it had actual.
That's me on a Sunday, Himalayan on the couch.
Himalayan, I'm a laying on my bed on a Sunday. But it was so cold and it was lovely. It was my favorite place to be in there.
Nice.
They actually had the giant stones with like the moss and stuff that would grow there.
Uh-huh.
It was a pretty cool place.
No moss on a rolling stone, I bet.
Nope, no rolling stones.
Rolling stone gathers no moss.
But I'm pretty sure Keith
Richards?
Richards is probably covered in moss.
He's a mossy guy,
point.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way he's not. He's mostly moss. I'd say
Cape moss.
Covered in Cape moss.
Yep.
We tried to go to the German district, the old German district.
Das German District. Yes.
No way you could ever park there. We drove around different little avenues and stuff forever.
Uh-huh.
We saw a bunch of awesome dogs.
Cool.
That was the best part of Germany.
Good boys?
Oh, so many good boys.
Oh, nice.
So many.
Yeah.
Two big old fat bulldogs.
Oh.
Just loving life.
Nice.
Just loving life. Just chilling. Yeah, then we tried to
us in our next lives.
I hope.
Just good boys.
I hope I get reincarnated as a big old fat bulldog. Just rolls
with
around.
With me.
You. Big old fat bulldogs.
Good boys.
Yeah, it was a good time, though.
Nice.
Good weekend.
Nice,
good little
nice.
Weekend trip.
I haven't done anything.
Nothing.
I work. I mean, I know stuff. Work, hang out with the girl, hang out with the daughter, work. Good stuff, though. Happy
I've
boy.
Lost, like, all track of time and space at this point.
What is it?
I don't ever know what day it is anymore.
Rinse, wash, rinse, watch, and then release it back to the wild. Repeat it. Rinse, wash, repeat.
I
did
release first, and then rinse and wash. Because I don't, there's kind of, what are you talking about?
I meant to say rinse, wash, repeat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not release.
Words are hard.
Words are hard.
What are words?
They're just letters. A series of letters.
Yeah, I'm more of a numbers guy.
A bunch of letters into a longer thing of letters.
What?
Yeah, man, that's all words are. Yeah.
So, it's like languages and shit. And people are like, oh, this is our language. And then people are like, oh, but this is our language.
Yeah. We have a different one.
Like, we just learned it.
Yeah.
And I just, all these words, I'm not thinking about any of these words until I say them. But yet they're just coming out in like a stream. Stream. Like a river stream. A water. Mm-hmm. Water. H2O. Halloween. Michael Myers. Busta Rhymes. You know, LL Cool J.
Space.
He's a rapper with like Salt and Pepper. Like all these are just words that I'm just fucking saying. What is happening?
Very curious case of words.
Oh man. The curious case of words. And I'm turning into Michael Barnett. Like, words are the monster.
Have you watched Monsters, Inc.?
Have you ever seen this movie? I think it's called Star Wars.
Are you my daughter? Are you 37 or 9?
Oh, we did go to the flea market there in Boaz last Sunday, and I saw Mystic River.
Yeah.
And I said, is that my daughter?
Is that my daughter in there?
Kylie was like,
Sean. Sean, is that my daughter?
Is that my daughter?
Yeah.
He's in a new movie, Sean Penn.
Sean Penn?
He's like a paramedic driver. What?
Paramedic. A paramedic?
It's him and the guy from Ready Player One, but it's like real gritty and like Mike Tyson's like a police chief. Mike Tyson's in it. Mike Tyson's fighting Logan Paul.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's one of those bullshit boxing matches, but I hope. Dude, if Logan Paul knocks out Mike Tyson, I don't know. That I hear people say like my childhood's dead, and it's always the dumbest thing to hear. But like if fucking Logan Paul knocks out Mike Tyson.
Oh, Asphalt City.
Is that what Asphalt City? In a world where cities are made of asphalt.
Ty Sheridan plays Ollie Cross. Ollie Cross is a young paramedic assigned to the NYC night shift with an uncompromising and seasoned partner, Gene Rakowski.
Is that my ambulance?
That's my Sean Penn. Each 911 call is often dangerous and uncertain, putting their lives on the line every day to help others.
Yeah.
It's got a 6.1 rating on IMDb.
Is it out already?
Yeah, it came out. Okay. Or released soon, March 29th. Yeah. It was made in 2023.
Motherfuckers filmed before they even see it.
Michael Pitt is in it. Genga Akinagi, Ogby.
Mike motherfucking Mike Tyson. Tyson.
Catherine Watterson. This looks like a straight-to-video thing.
Really, yeah.
But,
well, that's all the new Birdhouse is. It's going straight to Amazon.
It actually, I'm going to watch
it. I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I'm going to watch it. So, I did want to bring up...
A peek behind my curtain, I have a Roadhouse poster up in my room. Because I want to wake up to Patrick Swayze every day.
Who wouldn't?
And just be like, I'm going to make you proud today, Patrick.
Yeah. I'm going
to... Patrick Swayze, man.
Right foot.
He's gone.
Right boot.
Yeah. Don't joke about Patrick Swayze.
I ain't joking about Patrick Swayze.
I love that's where I draw the line. I got a hard line at Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze has some damn good films out there.
Yeah.
Roadhouse, probably at the top of my list for him. You love, is he in Dirty Dancing?
He's in Dirty Dancing, Dirty Red Dancing. Dawn, Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar,
Ghost. You love the soundtrack.
Yeah, the movie I need to watch again, but I listen to it. It's still in my car.
Oh, yeah, you're constantly telling me.
Yeah, I keep
listen to it on the way over here.
I keep that thing on me. Yeah,
you try to get me to listen to it?
I know.
I'm not doing it.
You will.
So I wanted we both listen or watch the We Might Be Drunk podcast with Sam Morrell and
Mark Norman.
So the most recent one, I think most recent, has Dan Soder and Shane Gillis on there.
Yeah.
And they talk about wrestling a lot, like old school wrestling.
Wrestling.
And Dan Soder's dressed up as Casual Macho Man. Mark Norman's got the Hogan gear on.
Yeah.
And Sam has got the Bret Hart outfit on, but I was listening to that and it is so depressing for anyone to talk about 80s and 90s wrestling.
Yeah,
because every buddy they'd talk about, they would be like, oh yeah, they died of this.
Yep.
Yep. Drug overdose.
He's dead.
That guy, he was involved in a scandal where he it is so fucking depressing. I am so glad like that now wrestling, like, the big complaint with guys is, like, he tweets too much.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Killing the business.
That's becoming the new thing. Like,
yeah, I don't think we're going to start seeing. I mean, the rest of these older guys kind of have to go, but now I think it'll be old age taking most wrestlers.
I don't think
out.
We're going to see quite
or
any
Mount
scales.
Everest in Darby Allin's case.
Yeah.
But, like, Sting, he retired. He made it. I mean, he
still looks good.
Crazy watch seeing that. Like, just the old footage of him and. Just like I was watching on Oculus. So I was in a theater with people, you know,
yeah.
And be like, I was like, man, I don't want to say I'm 44 in here, but like they kept talking about that match in '89. I was like, I was 10 years old. One guy's like, I was 14. One guy's like, I was 12. And like, I was like, oh shit, y'all old too. But it's like just cool. Like I grew up with Sting. Like I don't remember a time pretty much before Sting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, 10,
Sting was
you know,
like my
but,
first favorite.
Yeah.
Wrestler,
like that's about when I started watching wrestling and. Yeah, the face paint and everything, yeah. And just he was the best.
It's
cool
that he had his sons come back out to do like all three different
versions
of Sting.
Yeah.
That
the
was
best,
cool.
Three best.
Yeah,
he had that weird like phase right before he was the Crow when he had the long brown hair, but still wore like the black tights with like a colorful scorpion on it. You know, he wasn't like all colorful, but he was like not quite sure what he was. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that weird Joker period in
TNA. They didn't really talk about TNA or WWE for the AEW stuff, just like the old WCW, NWA stuff. And even that, they could only show like pictures out of magazines.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of sucks. WWE wouldn't let them kind of have some footage.
They did mention him the next night.
Yeah, on Raw, I saw that.
I think Pat, though, like, when he was like, because Michael Cole just mentioned Sting had his last match last night, whatever. Didn't really say anything else. Just like, you know, we want to. And then Pat McAfee's like, that match last night was awesome. Michael Cole was like, so anyways, Pat, on to what we're doing.
How about these antlers that I'm going to be wearing later on?
But yeah, that podcast, like, they, you know, they would be like, oh, yeah, remember Miss Elizabeth? And then, like, Mark Norman, who really hasn't clearly, like, he doesn't really know what's going on with what has gone on. He's like, oh, it's Miss Elizabeth. What's her story? She's pretty hot.
Dead.
You know, oh, died of a drug overdose. Oh, okay. And then, like, they'll bring up, you know.
He thought Macho Man was alive?
Yeah.
He's like,
no,
he died years ago.
His heart exploded while he was driving. He hit a tree.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, Hulk Hogan. Oh, yeah. That guy had a sex tape. Yeah. He said the N-word. Real piece of shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Lex Luger. Oh, yeah, he's in a wheelchair now.
Yeah, he gave the pills to Elizabeth pretty much. Yeah. He was involved with that pretty thing. You know, whatever. Somewhat.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah.
That was on Nerd Out Wrestling.
Listening to that was very sad, though. Where like, oh, yeah, everybody.
Was it that episode, though? I think it was where one of them thought Mongo was dead. He's not dead.
Did Mongo not die?
He didn't die yet. He was in the hospital for pneumonia, but last I saw you, he was able to go back home.
I know he got.
I mean, he's not doing good. He's like bedridden, can't talk. Like, you know, he's not good at all, but he's alive. He made it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Chicago Bears.
Because I watched like a video about him, and they said obviously I don't know if they can actually get him to the Hall of Fame, though. But like, it looks like all his Bears teammates are still real close with him, and.
Okay, good. I kind of thought he had passed away.
I mean, it was fun to pick on Mongo, but I mean, the dude did it.
Mongo was fun to watch.
Man, he went from football to wrestling. Yeah. And was successful, and
he was like when I went back and did like my rewatch when the network first came out of Nitro, he was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't great in the ring or anything, but he had a presence.
Yeah.
And, like, knew kind of what he was supposed to be doing.
Had like an intensity, which I think a lot of wrestlers lack.
And,
you know,
yeah, especially
because
guys fighting
is supposed to be pretty intense.
Yeah. So, wrestling. We got Mania coming up.
Yeah.
Soon.
Oh, Mania. I still call it WrestleMania. 40.
Yeah, it's coming up very soon. Who you got? So how do you think the whole Bloodline, Cody, Rock, Seth Rollins thing's going to play out?
I think somehow the Bloodline will win the tag match the first night. So then the second night will be Bloodline rules where anything goes.
Yeah.
But I think Cody will win that. And I think I'm kind of wondering if maybe I don't know. Seth will probably lose the Drew as well. I think he's kind of due for a little bit of downtime.
I think they might do something where The Rock purposely costs him and Roman the tag match.
Yeah,
and then his whole part in this was a ruse, and he actually wants to take out Roman Reigns. So then they'll do Roman and Rock at. The next big
41. Or they did that before with Rock and Cena, where they started at WrestleMania and had it for a whole year.
Yeah, because Roman could take
Well, that's why I think they'll win the tag match, though. So Rock can, I think he'll be more involved in having Roman lose the belt.
Because
they don't need the belt for that.
Yeah.
Because then, like, you know, like, he could Rock's going to cost him the title, and then Cody can have the title, and Rock's going to be, Roman will be kind of tied up with Rock for a little bit. Maybe bring him out as a baby face after that, and then he can go back after his title or something.
That would make sense.
Hey, you know, call the WWE. Give me a job.
Just fantasy booking over here. Yeah. All right, so let's get into the curious case of Natalya Grace.
Yeah.
Like we said,
that
this
kind of rolls off the tongue, too.
It does.
The curious case of Natalya Grace.
I think that's, yeah. So, like we said, this is a 2-season
those were the words!
Docuseries on Max right now.
Max.
They clearly set up a third season at the end of the second season. So, you brought up the first season last episode, which then I went ahead and watched
both. So I soiled it. I didn't spoil it. I soiled it a little bit.
Yeah, because as I was watching the first season, I already kind of knew from what you said what the deal was.
Yeah, spoilers coming up. We're totally spoiling
it now. Oh, yeah. This whole thing's in spoilers.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen it, you might want to like go back to another episode, watch it. You'll watch it quick.
Yeah.
Once you start this show, I mean, you can't. It's like what they say, you can't stop at one.
You can't. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah, is that like heroin or something? What's probably. That
it's
for?
I think it's for Pringles.
Pringles. But yeah, it's just like that.
For heroin
yeah,
too, I would say.
This is the heroin of shows. I've never done heroin, but I'm going to speculate.
So,
but I have seen this show.
Why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of a review of season one?
Okay, season one is you meet Michael Barnett. They tell you about him and his wife Christina. They have three boys. I think all of them are somewhere on the spectrum, or at least the oldest one, Jacob, is. You know, they're supposedly the perfect family. They want to adopt this girl. They get a closed, I can't remember what they call it, but they get a type of adoption where, according to them, they don't meet the former parents. They don't know anything about this child until they get there. And it's like a girl from the Ukraine. They adopt her. She's supposedly between 6 and 8. But they start kind of questioning, is this girl maybe actually older than what she is? She seems to have, like, violent tendencies. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, kind of, it's like he said, she said.
They mention quite a few times of where she's like holding knives.
Yeah, knives.
She's trying to purposely get like the
other poison,
the little boys.
She poisons
ran
the mom.
Over.
Yeah.
She tries to poison the mom with.
And you gotta think this is like the littlest little person.
Yeah.
I mean this, and it's like there's, it's so wild like that. I don't, maybe not wild, but it's just to me like just seeing all the different types of like dwarfism and little people. Like there's some like you can see them where they just they can do everything, you know, but then others where it's just they can barely. Like Natalya, she's just so crippled too, and it's just so sad. Like, you know, just not sad. I mean, it's got to be a hard life.
Yeah. Well, it's sad when you take into consideration that she was actually 9
yeah,
when they dropped her off in her own apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So season
it
one
takes a turn.
Season one spins a narrative, right? Season one spins the narrative, like you were saying. Like,
yeah.
The whole first season, you're like, she is a fucking monster.
Yeah. There's no way she's only 8.
She's pretending to be 20. Or, you know,
she's got pubic hair.
She's got pubic hair, which is mentioned so
like
many
period,
times.
They talk about that in your period.
Just, which is, I think, called, like, it's called something.
Yeah.
Natalya
Grace. Not totally uncommon, just.
No, it's possible.
And they act like it's the most, just. Terrible, bizarre thing like Michael does. Michael's the one that they interview. Christina doesn't take any part in this. You see pictures of her. You kind of will hear some voicemails and phone calls, and you'll see some text messages, but it's just, there's so many, like, well, just wild characters, what they are. I mean, because, I mean, it's a true story, but all these people are fucking characters.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what that's called. It's like prepubescent something.
Yeah.
And it's very possible that that's what she has.
Yeah.
Like, she most likely does have that. But yeah, everybody involved.
Like they're showing
this,
pictures of her, like taken with, like, who was kind of shadowed. They're like, look how old she looks here. And her, she doesn't have those baby cheeks and stuff.
Which, yeah, like, she still looks like a little girl, though.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, so you kind of told me what the deal was with season one. And then you said, like, season two. You're like, you felt like an asshole.
Yeah.
Because you were like, oh, wait, I'm just as bad as these people.
Yeah,
because
there's so many people in season one. The people in her apartment, was that, when she was in her apartment, was that the first season?
That was the second season, because
okay,
you actually see her, like,
all right, yeah,
going into her apartment
and
everything. But, yeah, so in the second season, this second season is, like, subtitled Natalya Speaks.
Yeah.
So this is when we actually get Natalya's side of things. And it shows her. Yeah, when she was actually age 9, but the Barnetts were able to legally, what do they call it?
Re-age her.
Re-age her! So, in a very shady
way. They talked to the dentist and stuff, like, they never asked me about this.
Yeah, the dentist is like, she was clearly...
They're like 22?
A young child.
They made her 22.
Yeah.
Which is just happens to be the age that you don't have to...
You don't have to...
You're not responsible for children you adopt.
Yeah, season two, I think during season one, they talk about re-aging her, but they try to make it sound like they actually made her her legit age now. Yeah. So season two, now they're trying to pass her off as a 20-some-year-old. They get her own apartment, and again, she's actually 9.
Like an hour away from their house.
An hour away.
Are they in like Toronto or something at some point too?
At this point, they've, I think, moved to Toronto. So, but then Michael... We find out later that Christine? Yes, yeah, Christine.
I forget the name Barnett. Of my monsters.
We find out that she has supposedly antagonized Michael into basically going into an explosive rage fit.
Yeah.
And screaming at her. And
I'll kill you!
I'll kill you. You know, whatever. So then in the video, she's like, kids, you see what daddy's doing? And this is supposedly...
Daddy's going to kill all of us.
This is according to Michael.
Yeah.
That she filmed this and then she used it as evidence, quote unquote, that he was abusive and, you know, a danger. So she ended up...
Getting full custody
because she... It's... Between season one and season two, there's so many different lies.
Yeah.
And different versions of what happened. Yep. So I at one point,
and Michael's telling most of them. He's the most unworthy, untrustworthy
source of information. At one point, during their like trial stuff, she supposedly was able to get Michael to lie for her or something by promising him sex again.
Yeah, yeah.
By sending him like pictures of her like topless and stuff. And he's just like, I was weak.
She wouldn't have sex with me.
This was her power. So he, like, in court.
I didn't have any power.
Legally, somehow, he ended up helping her. So where she wasn't, I don't know. There was something. And then later, though, he says that the way she used the, she got him to actually, like, leave the house and, like, give her full custody because she said that something about, she never let him see the kids whatever, but then she hasn't let him see the kids. It's all just such a convoluted mess.
And it's all coming from his, like, perspective as the biggest victim of all of this. It does talk to Natalia, too, but, like, I feel like she's just so messed up from, like, what's happening in her life. Like, I'm just like, what? Who do you...
But, yeah, so we see her at this first apartment. Again, she's 9.
Yeah.
And she's, like, not... She doesn't really know how to do things for herself. Because
and they keep filming her too. They'll like show like stuff where like the Michael and Christina just filming her like up against the wall being punished,
like the one where like she's dragging the trash can,
Or just where she's like in her house, like all and they talk about how they kept giving her pills at one time and like
they admit to so many things on camera that are never brought up again.
Yeah, and they're just like, we won't talk about that.
But then they move her to a new apartment at one point because she has started being able to communicate with Child Protective Services.
Yeah.
So they make her...
They keep deleting her phone.
They take her phone from her, delete all of her contacts.
And her neighbors wanted her gone, too, because she was just...
Apparently, yeah, neighbors start
imagine
out...
Imagine this, a 9-year-old, let alone, is annoying.
Yeah, the neighbors start out all being like, we can't believe somebody would do this to this little girl. And they all act like they're heroes for helping her.
Yeah.
But then, like, immediately they all turn on her because she was, like, coming into their houses uninvited, but you know, she is a little girl that doesn't know what's going on. But then they start to buy into the bullshit that she's actually 20 something because she's like, because she can speak legibly.
Yeah.
And this blows their mind.
Yeah.
That this little dwarf girl that
she knows words.
She can talk.
And I've proven it's not hard to know words.
Right. Joel knows at least 40.
Oh man.
So
like some
at
of those
any given
can,
time.
Some of those you can put together, like, yeah that's going to make,
you
like...
You can take two words,
make,
put them make together,
bigger,
make another word.
Bigger than 40.
So, yeah, you can double your words real quick. So then they kind of turn on her, but
the
then,
old lady neighbor might be my favorite part.
Yeah.
Because she's just such... She's so set in her ways that Natalia is 20-something. She is up to no good.
She's
yeah, just
she's
evil.
Dangerous.
And even after they're like, no, she's 22, but she's like, nope.
Nope. Nope, not. I don't believe it. She came to my house once.
Yep, she was in my house once. So but she's like, you got back. She's 8, 9, living on her own, just looking for any sort of connection, yeah. Probably.
So then at some point, they move her into another apartment, and this time, I think...
But at least this one was like a ground level made well, for little people, right? Level. Yeah. And the second was like a special home made for little people.
It was, no.
It was she upgraded, right? It's like a really nice place?
No. The next apartment they moved her into...
Was it a nice part of town?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, no?
No. Because okay. That was the whole thing.
Maybe I'm thinking of a fairy tale.
Yeah. Because that was the whole thing. They have Christine and Michael through phone conversations and texts, like, Christine saying, like, she dumped her somewhere, like, where it was just white trash.
Yeah.
And nobody there would care.
What was the name of the town? Because, like, I was like, man, this is a rough narrative for this town. It's somewhere in Indiana. I can't remember where it is. But, yeah, it's a really bad part of town, you know. And also, it's up, like, two sets of stairs.
Yeah.
Like, she has, like, a giant set of concrete Lafayette, stairs. Indiana. To get to the place. And she lives, like, upstairs. And it's, like, a little enclosed staircase to take her upstairs.
But
I can't even imagine her, like, getting up and down that place.
Some of the neighbors would say things like, she was like a serial killer or something because of conversations that made them think that. Like, yeah, like, she was a weird little girl. Like, she wasn't even a weird little girl. She was just a little girl.
Well, I think
she was
brainwashed by Christine. I think Christine put a lot of stuff in her head. There's a probably lot of, Michael, too.
There's a lot of things where they say, like, basically Christine was, like, feeding her lines to say.
Yeah, kind of training her.
She made up. She had her put the dish soap in her drink.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff. So
I gave her the knife to put under her bed or whatever.
But yeah, so they basically try to just dump her off in these apartments. They get her re-aged at 22 so they can legally just do this. And then when the some couple, the Manns.
Yeah.
Cynthia and Bishop Anton Manns, they take her in.
They have a lot of foster kids.
Yeah. And they take her in and just kind of start helping her, like, unofficially. Yeah. They're trying to adopt her throughout the whole process.
Yeah.
But they take her in, they start helping her out.
And like Michael thinks it's for the social security checks.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
They try to say that, well, they're just, you know, they immediately got her social security switched over. They immediately took her SNAP.
Yep.
All this stuff. So, well, yeah, she's 9. She needs help. She's like 11 at this point. But so then they get somehow a lawsuit start happening where they're going to try to get Michael and like CPS is involved. And they're going to try to get Michael and Christine for basically child neglect, child abandonment, basically falsifying documents, all this stuff. So Christine, again, offers Michael sex. And Michael completely collapses and does something to help Christine get out of this legally.
Yeah.
So she's found, like, not guilty or whatever. And then Michael gets an attorney, and they somehow are able to get the judge to agree to where real age cannot be mentioned.
Yeah.
Her age at all cannot be mentioned.
Yeah.
They just keep saying, like, young adult.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And when they have video conferences between Michael's lawyer and, like, the dentist that's involved and CPS and stuff, and the dentist will be, like, showing proof that she was 9 or whatever. And the guy will, like, you can't say that, though, because, and he's like, I can't say the age. And he's like, you know, and like the guy kind of calls the lawyer out on, and the lawyer's like, I am offended that you would even try to say that I'm not. And it's like, no, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But the lawyer, his name is Terrence Kennard, and he is a part of the law firm Kennard and Scott. And I went and found their on Google some reviews that were left for Kennard and Scott. And this was after the documentary came out.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I want you to see if there's a pattern you notice in Luke Kennard, Terrence Kennard's replies.
Okay.
So first one here is posted by Abby Thielen. She gives a 1-star review of Kennard and Scott. And she says, Terrence Kennard has ruthlessly publicly attacked a disabled young woman who was a victim of horrific child abuse and neglect. She was victim blamed and maligned her name with baseless. He has victim blamed and maligned her name with baseless accusations. Money is his motivator above all else. The lack of humanity he has displayed is absolutely disgusting. How do you think he replied to that review? You think he did it professionally?
I think he probably tried to professionally tell her off.
Okay, he replied with simply, "You're special." That was it.
Oh, man, that kind of reply.
Then
I give her a review 5 stars. That was a good review.
Ann Smith, she left a 1-star review. And she says, apparently a group that will vilify a disabled child on a documentary to protect their white male client from accountability claimed a disabled child under the age of 10 was to blame for drama and failed adoptions. He did all he could to make his baby the sole blame for the actions of an affluent white man. This baby, the sole blame for the actions of an affluent white man. So if you want an attorney with no ethics, willing to throw disabled children under the bus to protect their clients, perfect place for you.
I mean, some people do want that.
Yeah.
So you're not really hurting them too much there.
His very legal and professional response.
LOL.
Cash me outside.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sheila B. left a 1-star review. Terrence Kincaid, means canard, is the epitome of unprofessional. He thinks it's appropriate to participate in a documentary where he maligns a disabled 8-year-old orphan who was horribly abused by her adoptive family. He's despicable and has also previously lost his license for lying. I'd stay far away from this disgusting enabler. His response to that.
You okay? Question mark?
Close.
Yeah.
Sad.
Sad.
Which, you know, is a Trump
Is he sad? Oh, I'd love to hear Trump talk about Natalia Grace. She's little.
She's a little person. We think we don't. She came up to me one time, tears flowing.
She's so happy to meet me. Very she's little the president.
Very little, tiny little person.
Tiny hands.
Tiny hands. Not like mine. Not like my big, strong hands.
They say she's sexually active. I don't know.
I haven't met her.
She didn't come on to me.
Another review here. 1-star goes on to talk about, you know, no compassion for children. It's just sad that he asked for understanding for his own client that he claims suffered from abuse versus demanding that a person who suffered from the day she was born be held responsible for her actions. His response to that
is... people not know what lawyers are, though?
Right.
I mean, no shit.
His response to that one
defense
is, aw.
Defense attorneys are special. You're special. Like, that, you should put them all together. Aw,
somebody
you're
left a review saying, if I could, I would leave 0 stars. His response is, 0 stars. Brilliant. ... Not.
Oh, shit.
Hit him with the Wayne's World.
The defense rush, Your Honor.
Another 1-star review. The most disgusting people who only care about money and have no morals. Beware. Blah, blah, blah. His response. Bye, Felicia.
Oh.
So just a level of professionalism not often found online. Terrence Kinnard, you awful bastard.
Yeah, I mean, he's rich.
He's a bastard, man.
But at what cost?
So season 2, yeah. So they now season 1 is all about making Natalia look like this evil little liar who lied about her age and possibly was like.
And at the end, they start to turn it back the other way.
At the end, a little bit, they start to give you hints that, wait a minute.
Or is she?
Is she? So,
and you're like, oh, I gotta watch season 2.
Season 2 is all about Natalia. We get a lot of interviews with Natalia. We also get some. I can't remember if this is season 1 or season 2. We get the interview with the other little dwarf guy that is like a local celebrity.
Oh, yeah, in the wheelchair.
In the little power chair.
That Christine was sexting
and
with.
And apparently there's parts where...
He's like, listen, not all of me's little. Yeah. Or whatever he says. Like, he's just like, what?
Christine, there's texts where she's basically like flirting with him. And they imply that those two were having an affair. But then the big bombshell, I think, towards the end of season 1 is where... He says that, and they have Michael watch this on a laptop, which Michael threatens he will break the laptop.
He's like, I'll watch it, but I'll break it. Yeah. They're like, no, Michael, no.
You be good. but they end season 1 with kind of the bombshell that maybe that Christine had implied to this other guy that maybe Natalia, the reason for all of this was because Natalia was sleeping with Michael.
Yeah.
And then they really don't ever mention that again.
No.
That's the big bombshell for season 1, though. Yeah. To lead you into season 2, where you're like, oh, shit, Michael was involved with this little girl. And then they really don't mention that at all anymore.
No.
So, but then, yeah, this other dude, he's a local celebrity guy. I'm trying to find his name.
The whole thing is definitely like Freddy a Gill. Hate watch.
It is a hate watch.
Like, you're not enjoying yourself watching it. You're just like, what is this? Why am I watching it? Why can't I stop watching it? Well,
especially
it?
Season 2 is a hate watch
for yeah. me.
Freddie Gill is that guy.
Freddie Gill, yeah.
So now we get texts.
He like went on tour. Was he on tour with somebody? He's like, I need to go on tour with Leonard
yeah,
Skinner.
Yeah, he went
some
on,
shit like
he
that.
Went on tour with like a lot of like old country groups and stuff. But season 2, we get some more stuff from Freddie Gill where it seems like Christine had offered him a night with Natalia.
Yeah.
And like had done up Natalia's makeup. And like that,
she's like 11 at the time.
Terrence Kennard again is like, we're gonna try to hold a woman responsible for putting makeup on their child. It's like, yeah, dude, that's a defense attorney's version of it. But yeah, so we get all this stuff from Freddie Gill with all these
cool name.
With all, it is a cool name. He yeah. seems like a cool guy.
He's a bit of fish out of water.
Yeah, but he has all this. He seems to have all this evidence.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing. He seems to have all this evidence on his phone still, and they make this big deal about how he's going to, like, he's been subpoenaed to court.
Yeah.
Now he's going to blow this case wide open.
Nothing.
And then nothing.
And then nothing.
Nothing comes from that at all.
Yeah.
Michael
ends up being found innocent, and he's like, I'm the most innocent man in the world.
Yeah, the lawyers get it passed, like I said, by a judge, where during the trial against Michael, they cannot mention, nobody can mention that Natalia's age in any way. That, not that she's 22.
Yeah.
Not that she was 9. They can't say that. So the only thing they can say is this, like, young adopted girl. Is I think the only thing they can say. Like, yeah. They figure out that's the.
There was something they were found there hiding to. I don't. I have to watch it again. I mean, I watch that shit so fast. I know I missed.
But so
stuff.
Of course he's found innocent because the jury didn't really get all the information. Yeah. They then interview the foreperson from that jury, and she's like, yeah, we found out afterwards, and that motherfucker is guilty.
Yeah.
Like, we would have found him guilty as hell. So, but then it still shows Michael, and he's like, I'm so innocent.
Yeah.
People found me innocent. They love me.
They believed me.
They believed me.
It's over. It's all over.
But then it's not over, because we get the big face-to-face with Natalia.
Face to knees.
Face-to-face with Michael.
Because she's small.
Michael. So this
he's
is
tall.
This is the big moment. And the first time they meet, Michael's lawyer's there. Natalia's new adoptive father's there. He's the bishop.
And that is weird pep talk prayer right outside the door with the door open. There's a devil in there!
There's a devil in there, Natalia!
We don't let the devil get to us!
And then at some point, very soon in the face-to-face conversation, Michael says Jesus Christ. And she asks him not to say that. And then off camera, the bishop starts in. With his religious bullshit.
Yeah.
And Michael
Sees the opportunity to be the victim.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as soon as he sees the glimmer.
Plays it up for everything it's worth.
Yeah. I tried.
But now this scene was where I said, oh, wait, this is all bullshit. not the stuff that happened.
Yeah.
I think legally anything.
Now they're just making it.
Anything
dramatic.
That was legally shown
yeah.
was all had should be all legit, like the court hearings and all that stuff. I believe all of that. I believe the re-aging bullshit.
Uh-huh.
But season 2 is clearly all staged.
It's a production.
It's a production.
Yeah.
I think Natalia's in on it. I think the bishop's in on it. I think the new mom's in on it. Michael's in on it.
Yeah.
The lawyers. I think everybody's in this season 2 production.
And Jacob's in the basement like, oh,
Jacob's
my popcorn.
Eating popcorn. He just wants popcorn. His dad's,
he wants popcorn and numbers. I mean, Jesus Christ. Who does it,
his
Jacob?
His dad's crying and hugging him, and Jacob's just like, I got popcorn. I don't know what you're doing, but this is nice.
But yeah, it feels very put on.
I think the whole thing is just a staged bullshit drama now for season 2.
Especially the way season 2 ended.
Like I said, I think Natalia's now in on it. I think everybody's involved.
Yeah, they're just, how can we get money?
This is now the way. And if that's, whatever. I don't.
That's half of all
this
reality.
This is Hollywood.
Yeah.
This is reality shows. This is documentaries. I think it's a
yeah,
very.
Yeah, definitely feels like it went from a documentary to a reality show.
Season 2 was a reality show.
Yeah.
Season 1 was a docuseries.
Yeah, they give you the information. Now, they give it to them at their kind of.
It was a very skewed docuseries.
Yeah, yeah.
That made you have certain opinions, and I think with you telling me ahead of time, I think it was easier for me to watch it and go, oh, yeah, you guys are full of shit spinning this narrative.
I ruined it.
But the two, the directors, Christian Conway and Jackson Conway, are clearly grifters and con artists because this is the most bullshit documentary.
I mean, I can't blame him. Michael is such just a...
I think he's been told to turn it up to 11.
He's so unlikable that you have to keep watching.
They clearly plan out the shots of him pulling up right in front of the doorway.
Yeah.
Like, perfect shot. Yeah. His little white car. Like, everything.
I can definitely see, like, cut. All right, we're going to take that from the top.
Let's do this again, Michael.
But this time, I don't know, Michael. Maybe try to high five her after you guys, like, agree that Christine's a monster.
Yeah. So they
Michael's like, yep. Mm-hmm.
They get them back for another face to face. And this time, the lawyer's not there, the dad's not there. So now it's just those two. And Michael asks her if she's seen Monsters, Inc. because, you know, their monster, they have a shared monster, Christine.
That's just like us. You're Scully and I'm Mike Wazowski.
And
isn't it funny? You're the big one and I'm the little one, when in real life it's switched.
And now this time, Natalia forgives Michael, even though, like, the one question she wanted him to answer, which was, like, the most damning question that Michael would have had to have answered, they just drop it.
He's like, I won't answer that.
Because he doesn't want to answer that one. Because, yeah, it's going to make you look really shitty. And then immediately after, he's like, I'm not going to answer that one. He makes some sort of joke that she laughs about.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Michael, I forgive you. And I'm like, he's
like, oh, I get a fake cry again.
He just refused the one question that you really needed answered, and you're now forgiving him?
Yeah.
Again, all just staged bullshit.
I think they all love the attention.
We get the little prayer scene between the two of them with Michael trying to fake cry.
Yeah, oh, I forgot about that part.
He gets
down on the floor.
And then, like, they end the face-to-face with them both kind of crying and, like, you know, I forgive you and I'm sorry and whatever. And then Michael immediately walks to his car outside and he's like, I've been forgiven. This is over.
I remember when we talked about how some people don't have an inner monologue. I think that's Michael.
Michael's all outer monologue all the time. But you get, like, his friends that, like, when he was basically kicked out of Toronto, because, like, she did something to where if he goes into Toronto, there's a warrant out for him, I think, now.
Oh.
Or she can press charges, or I don't know. But, like, he moved in with some friends. And, like, the friends are all like, he's just the sweetest. And I'm like, there's no way you're real. Like, you're saying this
to be
because
on TV.
You've been told to say or something. Like, there's nobody that can know that guy. And if that guy acts that way in real life, so if that's really Michael, there is no human alive that does not hate him.
His mother, maybe.
Maybe.
If she's alive.
Maybe. But, like, there's just no way that he has friends that are like, he's the victim. And he's, like, there's no way there's anybody that dumb. And if there is, you're an idiot.
You're in the same boat
and
as
you're
Michael.
Enabling
people just like Michael are the people that probably believe him.
So, so nothing's really done legally against Michael or Christine. There's all these accusations, though, and, like, very terrible abuse.
And it seems like the most recent interview, she's not forgiving him, and she's still pretty pissed off because she's finding out more stuff.
So then we do have...
Because then they did the interview where she's in her room, and they, like, interview her little siblings and stuff. It's
like,
well, one time when I was a baby, she said she'd kill me. Or I can't remember exactly what it was.
It was...
But she's like, y'all ain't going to tell her I said it, are you?
She's like,
well, no, we won't tell.
She dropped her... She made her hit her head. Like, she fell.
Yeah, I can't.
She pushed her over or something. But yeah, she's like, I don't want to.
It's like, why are you letting these little, like, 7 and 8-year-olds, like, talk? Like,
because they're grifters and con artists.
Yeah.
But then we do get the scene of Natalia officially being adopted by the Cans.
Yeah, even though she's 22.
Yeah, which they make a whole thing about, like.
In the courtroom there, too.
They kind of legally prove that her age is, she's actually younger. Well, she's 22 now.
Yeah.
But, like, by Michael and Christine's record, she'd be, like, 30.
Yeah.
Something crazy. Yeah. But so they legally adopt her. But then it also, at one point, shows another little person, and it says her soon-to-be new adoptive mother. But then we never hear about that again. Because it made me think, like, oh, so she's getting adopted by this other family, but then they show the adoption.
There's a couple different families involved. Like,
I'm just like, you guys are just throwing things up on screen now, and you don't remember what you did.
Like, find a little person, put them on screen.
Put them on screen, and we're going to say they're adopted.
Ask her about Natalia.
So then the very, very end of season two.
the most cliffhanger thing ever.
We get the man's, right before this, this is the adoption scene and everything. They're all so happy and yep. they love each other and a bunch of hugging and all this stuff and crying. And then at the very, very, very end, we get to hear two voicemails that supposedly the cans or a voicemail that the cans apparently the left mans. For the producer. The mans. Is
yeah.
it the mans?
Yeah. That's what you said earlier.
The mans. Yeah, we get this voicemail that, what's her name? Cynthia calls, but then you can hear Bishop in the background, Bishop Anton, and they say, something's got to be done about Natalia. She's, yeah.
Like they tried to
kill her. We can't do this anymore. We tried. So now they're implying that, oh, she actually is an evil little liar.
She did something. Manipulating. That finally, broke the camel's back or whatever.
So, unless season three is Christine Barnett speaks.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you do now. Like, are we going
to
have
I don't know
what
they're going to have Michael react to all this new stuff. Like, because Michael honestly was the best. I mean, I don't know how.
Most,
I hate to call it the
you
best.
You couldn't
but,
not watch him.
Yeah, Michael was like the part that you're like, I can't. What is this guy going to say next?
I'm watching a train wreck.
Like, when he hit the plant with the bat. Like, there's just so much shit.
He beats up the floor.
Yeah.
And he makes sure they
he's like so proud of that cross in his
they
house.
Make sure he gets the perfect shot of him beating up the floor.
Yep. He's like, this cross is what we got when we first adopted you, and I keep it around so I think about
it,
you.
Every day I have to see that, and I have to live with that. There's also throughout the whole both seasons, there's a quote unquote legal expert. Her name is Beth Karras.
She acts like she was so she.
This is another reason why this is just a complete and total bullshit documentary. She is in no way involved with this case.
Yeah.
They are just showing her. She doesn't know any of these people. She's never met any of these people. They are just showing her at her office, wherever the fuck she is, and she's watching the footage.
Yeah.
And then she gives her legal expertise.
But she speaks in such absolutes. It's like...
That she knows...
Yeah.
So what you should have done with this documentary is... Get the actual therapists that were involved in these cases that spoke with Natalia.
Yeah, because they showed therapy sessions of Natalia.
So let's
hear
what they think. Let's get her actual legal.
Yeah. That first adoptive family to see what actually happened
there's
there.
There's so many people that they could have actually got, but I think then, those people probably didn't agree.
It would have been a one episode. Like, you could have told that story so much more, cut down, but they're just dragging it out. Another season. I'll watch it.
So, overall, here's some facts.
Okay.
So, Natalia Grace Barnett, she was born September 4th, 2003. She was a Ukrainian-born American with dwarfism. In 2010, she was adopted by the Barnetts. They abandoned her 2 years later. So she was 7 years old when they adopted her.
Yep.
Within 2 years, they had her living. They abandoned her in her own apartment. They did, though, claim that she was a legal adult. They successfully sought a court order changing her birth year from 2003 to 1989.
That's so crazy, man.
But then in August 2023, a DNA test... done by True Diagnostic, estimated that Grace was about 20 years old in 2023.
Yeah.
So she was born in 2003.
Yeah.
So she was about 9 years old when she was abandoned. So she was born in Ukraine to Anna.
Good job, America.
Anna.
Yeah, they tracked down the mom and interview her a couple times.
Yeah. They tried to make that all seem like maybe that was a lie, too, though, because Michael was like, I don't know this woman. I've never met this woman. So you just go over there and, like... So, you don't have to meet her.
It's just another monster in my life, though.
2012, she was abandoned because the Barnetts successfully petitioned the Marion County Court to change her birth records. Because
they're saying Christine was wanting to adopt her to, make her another genius, and it just wasn't.
And it wasn't working out. Yeah. So, they...
You can't just give a kid a fucking physics book at 8 years old. Like, just read that.
You'll be smart. And she was very intelligent.
Yeah, she was. But she's no Jacob.
Everybody thinks she was actually.
But they needed her smarter than Jacob, who was graduating college at 12 or whatever it was. It is an actual, math genius. He has no life skills other than that.
They legally changed her age from 8 to 22, which just so happens to be, like we said, the age where they're no longer legally responsible for her. So then they dump her off in an apartment in Westfield, Indiana, and then later Lafayette, Indiana. Yeah. Then they moved.
They're probably not like Lafayette. We're from the Natalia Grace story.
Then moving, they moved to Canada. She is then taken in by Bishop Antoine and Cynthia Mayans.
And it seems like she doesn't have really any problems there for years.
Yeah.
Until that last voicemail.
Cynthia Mayans, she says that Christine Barnett was inspired to legally change Natalia's age by the film Orphan. The Barnetts still claim that Natalia was lying about her age and exhibited sociopathic behavior. So,
I'm sure, I feel like the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. She probably was a little, I mean, growing up in the Ukraine.
Not knowing, like having abandonment issues.
Being with one family for a year, then being with another family. Yeah. And then a family like the Barnetts with Michael as your dad and Christine as your mom.
Not a good family to be in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's really, really no legal shit happening. Like, there was so many awful things that happened.
Yeah.
Whether the story, just legally looking at the facts.
Like, no one gets held responsible for any of this, for taking the 8-year-old girl and be like, no, you're 22.
But I do, have fun. I do wonder what Christine Barnett's side of everything would be. Yeah. Because we don't hear from her at all.
No.
She refuses to.
She's out there.
Cooperate.
What kind of life is she living?
Documentary. But they Christine, make her
if you're
out.
Listening, Christine, come to us.
They try to make out we'll the give fact you a platform. That she took sexy photos, that she was having affairs with
withheld sex from Michael.
Like, they do really go out of their way to make her the ultimate bad guy in all this. But I don't, like, I do kind of want to hear what she says. That way you can put everything together.
Yeah.
See what, like, I do think she's a terrible person.
Sure.
And a manipulator.
But everyone involved.
But I think everybody involved was.
With this is pretty terrible.
Yeah. So if, you should watch this, though.
Yeah.
Just for the train wreck that it is. Get, you know. And,
yeah, even if you haven't watched it, you just after all these spoilers, still watch it.
Because we did. Michael we missed alone. So much.
Yeah. There's.
You have to see a lot of this to really even comprehend the level of absurdity.
Yeah.
Michael
what
Barnett
they
is.
Say, what they accuse, and what happened.
They interview him through like four different.
Yeah.
Like.
At least. There's where he's in that where he's in that room with the bright red around him. There's like where he's sitting out back. There's they have him where he's like just all the lawyer stuff. Yeah, in his living room.
There's so many different interviews with him where he's changing. You know, throughout the years he's changed looks and stuff.
And like they'll kind of too. They'll like where they'll show clips where like he said one thing and then another. He said another and like he just changes the story for every sound it.
And they never really ask him about it. Or try
to
follow up. Yeah. So like that would
they
be
probably can't because he probably would fucking.
Yeah.
You know, become a victim and storm off like he does.
You should definitely watch it, though, because we really can't.
We're really, a couple idiots trying to paint a picture.
We also really can't, like, you have to experience this for yourself. This was like the, like they keep saying, this is the 2023, 2024 Tiger King.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just so fucking crazy.
Tiger King, what a time.
What a
I don't gotta go back and watch that again, but I man with Tiger
we all,
King.
We all watched Tiger King. Yep. What else were we gonna do?
Because in my little apartment on my little couch, just fucking laying there watching Tiger King.
Joe Exotic came into our lives.
Now when you watch a porn, you want a man with a big penis or a little penis?
let us know what you think of this whole thing though. Yeah. Let us know how you fall on it. When you do watch it, kind of I don't know, I don't wanna tell you not to get like invested in it because I think going on the roller coaster ride that you went on is fun.
Yeah.
But then I think watching it from the way I watched it, where you're like taking a very, you're leaving emotions out of it.
Yeah.
And just logically, like, this is all bullshit.
You're going in knowing that it's something fucked up and it's not like.
Because you can pick apart.
It messed with me. And I think it's like last, when you said it was, when I thought it was all made up.
Yeah.
Like that was such a crazy moment in my brain. I was like, what?
There's so many things about it that just legally don't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The whole thing just
it's just four holes, but it's just such a crazy story.
Yeah.
The people involved, the neighbors, just the people they interview. It's just.
I would love to just run into Michael Barnett.
Oh my God.
Just in like a very neutral situation.
I would try to make him freak out. Like, just by not
like I wouldn't want to, like, give him any impression that I had any idea who he was. Because I just want to see who he is.
Yeah.
Like, is he that guy that
like,
we see
in this
documentary?
Like, man, I feel like, do I know you? And just see what he says, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, well, I am.
Well, no, if I even give him an inclination that I know him. I don't want him to, I just want him to think I'm some random dude. Like, I want him to be.
Are you going to try to push his buttons a little bit?
No. I want to see how he actually is.
Yeah. Like, I would try to push his buttons in other ways just to see if
way
I
can get
a Michael
reaction.
Because the way
he comes across in the documentary, that's just who that guy is.
Yeah.
He's that level all the time.
Yeah.
So if that's really how he is, I don't think you have to push buttons.
Oh, man.
I think just the fact that you're near him, you're going to see.
We should.
But I think he's actually probably a very, like, low-key, normal dude that acts.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay.
But he also could be a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We should try to meet him.
But how, like, and I was also confused. So he apparently, like, lost everything.
Yeah. But he still had that car. He gets it. He's like, this doesn't run, but I got it.
But they also had, so, like, I can't remember what he did. But, like, so they made money from their.
And she sold
their institution or whatever they had.
Yeah, but she made it clear that was her money because, you know, she had that book about Jacob.
Yeah.
And apparently they signed on with some Hollywood company. Yeah.
But then, like, yeah, so he's apparently lost everything.
Computers, I'm thinking, or something like that. Something. Yeah.
But he still lives in a really nice house.
Because, I mean, he has that kind of personality where he would be a computer guy. He doesn't have he doesn't seem to have social skills.
No.
He can probably, like, blend in and try to be what he thinks people want him to be. But I can't imagine him, like, excelling in some sort of, like, personality-based, like, right. human relationship-based job.
He's clearly, like, paying very high legal fees because I forget who the same firm also represented.
Yeah.
They represented somebody else that was, like, a shitbag.
Yeah.
That was in the news. So, like, they're apparently, you know, they're, like, I'm assuming they're not charging him nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So he can apparently.
I mean, they're getting good publicity out of it, but they weren't getting it at the time. I mean, you know, they filmed all that, and then later on it came out, so.
A lot of it just doesn't make sense to me, but it is worth a watch.
No.
So, yeah, let us know what you think, where you stand on this whole fiasco. I do think she is a victim. I do think, though, that she's maybe. She's probably, like, I feel like she's grown.
Yeah.
And it's probably at this point just been like, yeah, I had a really fucked up life.
I should try to get something out.
But like now I'm like, she's, like, seemingly doing okay. So I think maybe she's just like, yeah, you know, like, I'll, like, let's play this up.
Yeah. Like, people love the attention. I mean, she's getting cameras and people asking her stuff about her. She gets to talk about herself.
But I don't think it's because she's, like, attention. I just think she's kind of like willing to just be like, yeah, I'll, you know, we'll tell my side and I'll kind of participate in this and, you know, at least something will come out of this.
Yeah.
So I do think overall she's, I mean, clearly the fucking victim. The fact that courts would just be like, we're going to ignore all evidence and say
we're not
going to
look at you and like, yep, you're 22. Like just to do that.
Yeah.
Just so many times online, like I can't believe that someone's like, what are you guys doing over here?
Legal things. We're just being legal.
We're white. Come on, just let us do this.
Let's do this. Okay, yeah, yeah. You are white.
Yeah,
we're
all right.
Sorry.
All right.
And she is Ukrainian, so we don't know if that's actually white. It's not American.
That
white.
Seems lesser. Yeah, it's not American.
It's not American
so you
white.
You guys
so
go ahead.
It's not real white.
You guys go ahead. Don't kill each other. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the curious case of Natalia Grace. The
curious case. Natalia Grace.
I'm surprised these Conway guys didn't make a whole rap video front for it.
I'll have that next week.
You'll have that next week for us.
I'm going to do a rap about Natalia Grace. Take a pee in a face. Well, not in her face, but on her bed.
There's also a documentary on Max that I think we should probably tackle next called,
Is that the one about the guy found in the tent?
They called him Mostly Harmless.
Okay, I don't think that's the one about.
They find him in a tent.
Okay, yeah, and he's like surrounded by candy bars and food, but he's malnourished and dead. And
a hiker found dead in Florida wilderness is identified by internet sleuths after 2 years. His identity triggers more questions as multiple hikers claim to have met him, but he never revealed his name. So maybe that'll be the next one we watch.
Max got the goods.
Max, as far as documentaries go, they've got some interesting ones.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're good. I think they're mostly bullshit, but. Max overall.
Man, we were so close to like an endorsement. They're like, hey, that Max is pretty much bullshit.
Max overall is bullshit. The fucking movie that I have been looking forward to since I heard about it, which is the mix of live action and animation.
Yeah.
Where it is Wile E. Coyote versus Acme.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a court movie.
Yeah.
With John Cena in it.
What?
Will Forte as Wile's attorney, I think. It was the most fun idea I've ever heard. They filmed it completely. Only a couple people have seen it, though, because Max basically wrote it off, and they're not going to release it now because they can write it off as a tax write-off.
No.
Yeah. So it was.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't they do that with like a Batgirl cartoon
the whole
or
show.
Movie
no,
or
it was
something?
A live-action show.
Yeah.
And
what
they,
the fuck, Max?
Before, it was all finished. It was all filmed. They, you know, everybody.
Like, this is awful.
It. And then they're just like, "We're not, no, it wasn't even supposedly got amazing reviews."
Oh, really? I thought it was because it was like awful, so no, we can't do this.
It got awesome reviews, but then they decided that they could just they could cancel it and write it off. But yeah, Coyote versus Acme. It was going to be directed by Dave Green. Story: James Gunn wrote, helped on the story for it.
It's a shame someone can't buy that.
I think they're working on it. Will Forte is Wile E. Coyote's lawyer. John Cena was going to be Acme's lawyer. I could not wait for this.
Yeah.
This was the most fun thing I've ever heard of.
Will Forte is really good.
And then February 9th, 2024, Warner Brothers Discovery rejected the bids from Netflix, Amazon, and Paramount for the movie. The company wanted $75 to $80 million to sell the film. Nobody would meet that price, so the company then...
They want box office price for these movies that aren't box office movies.
They haven't directly confirmed that it's canceled yet, but they are basically using it as a tax write off. So
email Max, tell him we want to see Coyote versus Acme.
Did stay. He did something. He released a Instagram video or something like that. I don't know what it was now. Last month, where he said that he thought that when he first heard that the movie was getting like deleted, like,
yeah,
he was just like thinking like. That thing must, you know, it must have sucked. It must have been terrible.
Yeah.
And then he finally got to see it. He actually finally got to watch the final cut. And he's like, I finally watched it, and it's incredible. He's like, it's, like, so good.
Well, Cena's funny.
Yeah, so I think they are trying to get it, like, bought up by somebody else.
This might be what gets it over the edge, us.
Us.
Right here.
Yeah. But if this worked, I would love to see all of the different scenarios you could have from Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah.
And like live action mix, and like it's just such a funny concept to me for the Coyote to finally sue Acme because all of his problems failed. That's such a good premise for a movie. And then yeah, John Cena and Will Forte.
I'm sold.
So hopefully that gets made. Fuck you, Max, and your dad, HBO.
But also endorse us.
Sure, but also give us money. Money me.
Yeah, money me.
All right. Well, I think that's all for us. We hope you enjoyed. Hope you learned about Natalia Grace.
Uh-huh.
Hope you'll check out the documentary if you haven't already.
Maybe learned a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, it was really the friendships made along the way
that was
the most curious case.
Yep. And all the punches to the floor.
Yes. Let us know again what you think of the documentary, what your take on it is.
You said lettuce.
Lettuce, bacon.
Iceberg lettuce.
Tomato.
Yeah.
BLT.
Oh.
How's your butt this week?
It's hurting.
Yeah, if you want to a little Easter egg, go listen to the very end of the last episode.
Well, you got me sitting on this hard chair.
I told you could take that blanket over there.
I don't want to fart on your blanket.
Well,
all I do
is
fart.
That's the farting blanket.
That's the fart blanket?
Yeah,
okay.
That's the fart blanket.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We're out of here.
Bye.
Bye.